call again. I got KB0.
KB0, KBJ.
K4XB, Tommy over in Southern Greenville. I was wondering if you was going to check in tonight, Tommy, because you very seldom miss a night. You don't get checked in. Glad you checked in, Tommy. Take care. Then KBO, KBJ, go ahead with your comments, sir.
Well, good evening again to you and all in the net. Sounds like you're holding a fine net there, Walt. I think that's what you said your name was. My name here is Steve. Like I said earlier when I checked in, we're up here in Clear Lake, South Dakota. So, to the fellow on Bald Rock, to your buddy, this is what we can do with ham radio. I just got home from work earlier. It is about 9 o'clock up here now. I got home from work about 6. No snow on the ground. Took a little cat nap. Now there's snow on the ground. Probably about an inch. Didn't see that one coming. Got up, looked out the window. I said, the ground is right. What's the deal? We haven't had much. We haven't seen snow. Let's see. When was the last time we've seen snow? I don't know. Maybe a month ago? But anyhow, here we are. Doesn't look like it's going to amount to much, though. It'll be gone probably tomorrow. There's nothing accumulating on the roads, just on the grass. But, yeah, sounds like you got a good net there going there. That's about it from up here in the Great White North. Have a good evening. KB0, KBJ. Hang on. Let me look here. Well, it's below freezing if it's snowing, so it's about 28 degrees. It's kind of cold. Been cold and windy. 30 mile an hour west wind yesterday and today, and about 35 for a high. So, looking forward to the 80 degree stuff, which we've had already. 80. We've had up in like 81, 82. That was a couple weeks ago. I think Sunday was 60, so it's that time of year, yo-yos all around. Hey, here's my wife. Let her check in. Here's another call for you to put on your list.
Kilo Delta Zero.
Don't forget.
I know. November, India, Quebec. KD0NIQ. Megan in Clear Lake, South Dakota.
All right, there you go. Another one, Walt.
You bet. The call again is Kilo Delta Zero, November, India, Quebec, NIQ, KD0NIQ, and my name is Megan, Mike Echo Golf Hotel Alpha, November.
You need to be closer in to Caesar's Head Mountain here where you could be a net controller. You got a beautiful... Out of all of our net controllers, we only have one, KN4HTP, Miss Wendy over here in Simpsonville. But you got a voice for radio.
Well, thank you very much. I'm going to go tuck some of the girls in bed now. You have a good night. KD0NIQ.
I mean, good night to you.
All righty, well, yeah, I have called the net from up here, in fact. The net down there. This is the net you're calling now. I used to call it. I used to live down there. And I have called it over Echolink. Bit of a delay, but it did work out. But you have yourself a good evening there, Walt. Forgot your call. Got to get around here more. Remember that stuff. After a while, you remember them all if you do it regular enough. You talk about nervous. Yeah, you're right. This is one good way to get rid of mic fright. I know what you mean. First time I called the net, the 610 net, it was, I was literally sweating before I got on the air, but after that, it smoothed on out. Have a good evening. KB0, KBJ, back to net control.
I appreciate you sticking around for a few comments there, especially from South Dakota. So I'll say 73s and, anybody else for comments or want to check in to the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio's 2-meter net, please call K4OIM or net control.
4LZI, did you ever have the time to look at Radio Boulevard yet?
Been so busy around here cutting grass and cutting tree limbs off that's fell in the yard and weed eating and burning leaves, I ain't had time to do nothing but eat and sleep.
Curious, and y'all was talking about WR8RW Robert. He's a net control for the Sky One net, and you'll hear him sometimes over 145.47 over there at 7:30. On Tuesday and Thursday nights, over there on the Sky One net, KI4LZI.
Good information, Andy. I'll be listening in for that, because I miss talking to Robert. He helped me a lot when I first got on the 2-meter net. He couldn't believe that all I had was that Balfang radio and a bag mount antenna for a cell phone that I took the slinger out of it, cut me a 18-inch piece of copper wire and stuck it top of that thing and set it outside my window on the air conditioning unit, and got into the repeater just fine with that thing, Andy.
But you can find him over there. Where you'll find him. KI4LZI.
And I appreciate that, Andy. You got anything else?
Well, answer my questions, and I just let you know where Robert's at these days. He hangs around with Skywarn around here, and that's where they are and where the net's at on Tuesday and Thursday. Either on 145.47 or the warning system. Because they are having a little trouble with 47 right now, but if they do with it, it'll be on the warning system, Wide Area Repeater Network System. And they got a website with all the repeaters that's linked into it, but I can't remember exactly what it's com.org or what. KI4LZI.
I'm gonna say 73s and check, see if anybody else out there wanting to check into the net tonight or make a comment. Please call K4OIM or net. Heard. So I will go ahead and file my net report electronically. Just a second. K4OIM, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with our thanks for everyone that checked in tonight. We will now return the repeater back over to normal amateur radio use. But before I sign off and say 73s, don't think that the net controllers are in a hurry to get off of the radio, because we are always ready to sit here and do some rag chews. So with that, I'll say 73s, good night, and God bless.
KB0KBJ, W4DJW. Still there, Steve?
Yeah, W4DJW, KB0KBJ. Great minds think alike. I was thinking of calling you, but you beat me to it. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Steve. It's good to hear you. I've been wondering where you were. This was an especially long duration between times that you checked into the net. It's been a very long time, in other words. Not that I'm browbeaten or anything, but it was good hearing Megan's voice on here. Like Walt said, she's got a radio voice. And how many girls is she tucking in now? Is it three or four?
Yeah, I think it has been a long time. I don't recall when last I've even checked in. Ooh. Yeah, I agree with you. She's tucking in four now. Over.
Okay. Well, I think you sent me the name. You sent me all of their names, but it's kind of like you're not checking in here. You forget. I don't hear you. But it was good to hear Megan on here. It's good to hear you in here. I was thinking about you the other day. We're some of the guys down here are getting together and going to Campobello Flyers. And WCRC lost their airfield, the one that we flew the yellow J3 Cub up to 2,800 feet, and you recorded it on your GPS, and then when you keyed up, the thing went into a spiral and started coming down. You remember that? That field, we lost that club field, I believe, a year now. And they got a new field, and I went out and flew it not too long ago, but they had some high winds, and it tore it up. So they're just now getting it put back together. In the meantime, some of the guys here are going up to Campobello Flyers. I don't know if you ever went up there or not, but they've got a really nice airfield up there. We've been flying there on the days that it's not super windy. We've been getting a lot of wind. This is that time of year for wind down here, kind of like you guys up there. I don't know if you're doing any flying or if you're doing any HF radio, ham radio, or anything like that, but just thought I'd let you know I thought about you thing, and that yellow J3 Cub and keying up that ICOM crossband repeat handheld and putting the J3 Cub in a dive. KV0KVJ, W4DJW.
Yeah. I don't know where the Flyers Club is. Or if airfield is, but I do remember that. Well, I think that happened over more at your son Dan's house. That's where we tried it out at, I believe. I don't recall on that for sure. I do know when you first, before we tried that, you got it running and you had it out at the field there, and I got you on video flying it. And you came in a little hot and landed, and then it tipped over.
Yeah, I didn't remember that. I tend to brush over those memories really quick. But so far, so good. Up at the new Fairfield, we're getting together and building, you can look them up on YouTube, FT for flight test, Frank Tango flight test, Bloody Wonder. It's a little foam-built airplane. The propeller costs $1.50. You fly off of a satellite receiver. Batteries are really cheap for it, but it's good for learning, but it's also kind of aerobatic, that you can put cray paper on the tail and try to cut each other's cray paper, long strips of it. If you go on YouTube and put in FT Bloody Wonder, you'll see what I'm talking about. Those guys have a blast with it, and it doesn't cost much at all. That's the good thing. If you crash, you haven't lost more than about 15 or 20 bucks. That's about it. Once you add up all the parts, but anyway, I was just hanging. I was going to hang around to the end of the net when I saw your call sign pop in there in the EchoLink box, just to see how it's going. You guys held up okay through COVID, I guess. Everybody did fine with that. No serious issues there.
Yeah, we all managed through it. I think I got it on the way. when I was down there last. I think I had the onset of it. But no. Yeah. Yeah, because I had taken like 3 flights in one day. So, anyhow, somewhere around that time, I get the crud. And all the classic signs they said at the time, so. Got that out of the way, and on with life. Been busy. And winter was okay. As winters go up here. Not too much for snow. Only broke out my snowblower once. And out twice. Once was just to see if it ran. Second time was to get a little bit of sloppy stuff out of the way before it turned to a rock. It was a really mild winter. Not that it wasn't cold. February was, you know, it was colder. 10 days in February where it didn't get above zero. But after that, it's been nice, and we've had 80s. And seems like every day we get a really warm spell, though. It hasn't followed, but we had 81 degrees one day, and then in 15 hours, it dropped down to, it was a 70-degree drop in 15 hours to the low of the night, I guess it would have been. It's done that a few times, anyhow. To see any little bit of snow, even like we're getting now, it must have, it looks like the grass is covered. Grass is just starting to get green up here. We had like 3 inches of rain last week. Any precipitation is good because it's just been so dry. So with, you know, planting season and such coming on, it's needs some moisture in the ground because all last year we were just really dry. But the ground moisture held the crops through. But no snow this winter, it makes a big difference, I suppose. So we're, I don't mind a little bit of snow. It'll soak in and get things greener than ever. Provided the temperatures come back up, which you're not supposed to be terribly warm, but 50s will do at that time of year. Yeah, and Megan, her voice, she does have a good voice for the air. Somewhere on YouTube you can find somebody who made a contact during her field day. She was calling, running a station. And it's scratchy, scratchy, scratchy. You hear other people mumbling in the background. And yet her voice just cuts right through it all. It's pretty awesome to hear how the quality of a female's voice, especially hers, I think she's got really sharp, whatever it is, tones to it. It just cuts right through. It's really cool. But, yeah, I'll check that out. FT Bloody something. Run that by me again.
Yeah, the FT stands for flight test. And Bloody is the word that they used for an intermediate airplane. It comes from 3 different airplanes. The very first one was called a SIG Wonder. SIG made tons of airplanes long, 20, 30 years ago when I was, new at flying RC. So SIG Cadet is one that I had, a bunch of different SIG. They were like one of the largest builders. But they had a SIG Wonder, and it was a flying wing, and it was super fast, and people really, really liked it. So that's where the Wonder comes in. And then somebody built a Bloody something that was like a Wonder, but it was different. Anyway, when you watch the videos, they'll explain all this to you. And then Flight Test is this group of guys somewhere in the Midwest or North or something that they happen to live on a whole bunch of land. It's nice and flat. They've got a really good garage where they work. They decided to start videoing what they were doing with flying airplanes. And it took off, right? It took off really good. And they got really good with flying. They're doing the Follow Me with the multi-rotor. It's a tri-motor or tri-rotor or quad rotors that they buzz around the fixed wings airplanes so that you not only get to see the fixed wing airplanes from the ground, which is, after you've seen about 5 or 10 minutes of it, it gets boring. But they get up there with the airplane, and they're filming the airplane as it's flying. They call that follow me. And they're doing that all the time, constantly. And they're doing a really, really good job with it. So if you just go to Google and you put, oh, not Google, if you just go to YouTube and put in FT Bloody Wonder, you'll find it real quick. And you'll find their explanation. If you look at the first one that comes up when you plug that in, if you watch it, you get that explanation of how it came up with that name, which is pretty cool. And it's a really good flying airplane for both brand new people that have never flown before and people that have been flying forever. Both of them can get a kick out of it. It's really fun and cheap, so that if you tear it up, it really doesn't matter much. It's built out of a board that comes from Dollar Store that costs a dollar. So the fuselage, wing, tail surfaces, all that stuff costs $1. You can't have more fun with $1 than that. Anyway, yeah, Megan's voice does cut through really good. I knew who it was as soon as she came on the air, every time. I mean, it's just like, and it's not something that you just forget. It's having her at field day would probably get you a ton of points if you guys are doing field day up there. I don't know that we're doing field day this year. I think they talked about it, but yeah, they did talk about it because they wanted people to say that they would go to it this year. But I don't know. It's wait and see for me. But it sounds like you guys got by with a really mild winter. Not bad at all compared to what you've had in the past. You only pulled the snowblower out once or twice. That sounds like a mild winter. We didn't have any here. I mean, we got a dusting, barely enough to tell that it snowed, and it didn't last but maybe an hour or two, and it was gone because the rain came out and washed it all away. But everything's just about green. The buds, there's enough buds on all the trees. Some trees have a lot of green on them. Some trees just have buds on them. So you see the green coming out. But most of the grasses turn green. There's a little white spots here and there on lawns that haven't really turned completely. But for the most part, it's turned. I got to get some mulch out there. I did the cutting around the bushes. And then raking the leaves out from under the bushes, and now I got to get the mulch down on top of that. But I also got to go flying, and I'm also working on apers. Remember when Mike and Lisa had the APRS running on the AB map, and everybody could see them? I know you got to remember that. That was fun times for all. But I out of all of that, I had a Bionics Tiny Track 4 left over. So I got that thing out, and I never really fully understood how that thing worked. So I got it out, started playing around with it, and read the instruction manual for the first time. You know, they were used in that AVMAT thing where you could see other ham radio operators on your GPS along with you on your GPS, and they could see you. And so it was really cool back then. There wasn't anything like that back then. We were the only ones that had that. But now I understand how that works. I got playing with it and figuring it out because I plan on using my truck a lot more to go flying. KB0KBJ, W4DJW.
Yeah, cool deal on the APRS there. Yeah, that's pretty slick. I remember you and Matt trying that out. I think you had computers in your truck. Looking at the flight test here, yeah, I see the several videos. I have to watch them here. One more bit comment on the winter. Yeah, we started off winter with 6 inches of snow in October, and we're like, oh boy, we're in for a long one this winter. And then that was it. It melted. It was bare ground at Christmas. We had maybe 2 inches at another point in January. But it was in the 30s, and that melted. And in March, we got 4 inches, and that melted in a week. That was the extent of our snowfall, so not much at all. So this FT Bloody Wonder airplane, is that what you're using or involved with, or what's your connection with that?
So about 5, 6, 7 years ago, 2014. That's when I was looking at the timestamps on the files from the CNC machine that cut out the parts to build my first one. So that was 2 years before I changed jobs. Two years before I left Bank of America, I was flying. You know, that I was pretty comfortable with that job. So I was going out flying a good bit. And that's when the guy from BMW, Mike, was here. 2014, this is 21. You were already in South Dakota. But I told you about the guy from Mike, the BMW engineer, that we were both trip figuring out how to do Follow Me. And we both were building Team Black Sheep's Discovery, Go Discover, that multi-rotor. We were building those by hand, you know, home-built rather than store-bought. The store-bought was about $2,500. The home-built, you could get the whole thing built and flying and doing everything that the store-bought could do for $400. So it's if you lost it, because back then that's before the FAA really jumped in there and started saying, you can't do this, you can't do that. So we were doing this and we were doing that because there was no rules against it. So we put the goggles on and we could fly in a mile away from you. And the next step was to put the repeater in a multi-rotor and go straight up. And then your signal goes up to the repeater, which is straight up over your head, which is a multi-rotor that goes out and down to the multi-rotor that's flying out in the field. And that way you don't have to respect the 10-to-1 rule where for every 1 mile you go out, you've got to go up a tenth of a mile. Otherwise, you'll lose radio connectivity with it, with the frequency we were using, which was UHF. So while we was doing all that flying, FAA started coming out with locking down the rules. When Mike had to go back to Germany, his stage over here was done, right? So I was looking for more things to do to fly, and FT Bloody Wonder is brand new back then. That's when they were just now building them. So I found it on YouTube, and I built me one. And I have a blast with it. I've about wore it out. It's about 7 years old. It's about wore out. And the guys around here that are getting into radio, well, we're trying to get, there's two of us that are flying, or not radio, getting into airplane flying. We're trying to get them moving, right? Get them motivated to build and fly because they're talking the talk, but they're not walking the walk. So that's a really easy way to get people in. And if you crash it, you really haven't lost that much. And I've got all the parts. I got CNC programs to cut all the parts out on the CNC machine, except for the wing. It's too big to fit in the CNC machine, so you have to cut it out with a razor. But you see that guy doing it. But the reason to put it on the CNC is because it's much more accurate, and you don't have to do all the measuring, and you can do bunches and bunches of them without having to be really precise about all your measurements over and over and over again. So that's my tie into the FT Bloody Wonder. It's fun to fly. It costs next to nothing. And it's a motivator to get people moving. W4DJW back to KB0KBJ.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll have to look into that. Yeah, I've said that before. I kind of am one of them guys that walk the walk. I don't even talk too much, do I? At least I hold back on that. Still the interest there is somewhat. So I'll at least watch the videos. That does sound good. I guess we'll see in the videos how easy it is. And, you know, I was thinking as you said that, you know, it's kind of interesting, you know, flying RC is fun. Talking on ham radio, fun. But really, it's coming down in both hobbies. Interesting how it comes down to doing, which really makes it the fun and makes you stick with it. Kind of a parallel there, huh?
Well, that is true. I like the building and the, like the building the radios, the building the airplanes, the, cutting the parts out, gluing them together. That's just as rewarding to me as the flying. I like the flying when it's not windy. When it's windy, I still like flying, but I like flying a lot more when it's calm. Flying low and far out is really, really fun. Or flying fast, knife edge and low. That's kind of fun, too. That kind of flying. The kind that you just get up in the air and you putt around. I got enough miles under my belt up for that's no longer that interesting. Unless I've got a camera in it and I got goggles on. Now, that's a lot of fun. That's a whole lot of fun. But about the time I got really geared up for that is when the FAA came out with all the rules. Now, they since then relaxed some of the, well, it's not really relaxed. They've allowed us to do those things that we could do before, but they've got a lot of rules around how to do it, so gotta follow the rules and make it safe. But that's not too much to ask. because you got to respect other people. So it's the rules are out there. They're not too bad. They're not finished yet. They're still working on them. But at least we know, for example, we can do long-distance flying as long as, like, you've got a spotter that's chasing it, right? And you can be in the spotter car while you're flying it and you're chasing it. And we used to do that at WCRC. We had races from North Carolina to South Carolina a long, long time ago. And you had spotters. You had a spotter sitting in the back of the truck with you. Some people put a recliner rocker in the back of the truck and flew backwards, flew the plane coming at them all the way from North Carolina into all the way down to WCRC field that we flew at. And that was fun. Races. I flew a canard in that race one time, and I won with the canard. That's even more fun when you win. And back to you, KB0KBJ, W4DJW.
Yeah, I remember. I haven't forgot that. You've told me that before, starting up there on top of the hill and circling at intersections, waiting. That would be, I guess I'd like to see the guy in the back of the truck just watch his hair blow, you know. That to me looks more amusing than watching the plane, although that'd be interesting too.
Fun nowadays is doing it with goggles on. Now, you can do so much more with the goggles on than you can do with, you know, line of sight, eyeball on it. When your eyes are inside the plane, looking out, there's just no limit. And it's got these little arrows on the heads. It's got a heads-up display inside the goggles. And it's got this little house, and it's got an arrow. And if you get disoriented, you just turn until that arrow is pointing at that house. And then you punch the throttle, and you fly that arrow toward that house, and that you're going to hear the airplane buzz over your head, right? So if you get disoriented and you don't know the landscape, you can always get back to yourself. And then once you hear it, you just take the goggles off and fly by line of sight, and you're good to go that way. So it's a lot of fun. Anyway, I won't keep you. It's good to hear you. You probably want to go tuck the girls in, too, or if they're not sleeping already. But anyway, good to hear you on the radio. You need to stop by more often. I can't get up there and log into your Echo Link. You got to log into ours. And get you used to run APRS up there. You could start your APRS server up again, you know. And I could ping you up there and say, get on Echo Link. Anyway, good talking to you, Steve. Tell Megan it's good to hear hearing her voice over the air again. It's been a long, long time. You guys take care. Stay safe. KB0KBJ, W4DJW.
All righty, Dave. Yeah, I say good night to the girls before they get tucked in, so I've done that already. Yeah, I have to get on a little more. Oh, one other thing that I didn't mention, I did this spring, maple syrup. I tapped three trees, big silver maples, not really the hard maples that good maple syrup sap comes from. But nevertheless, three trees, big ones, like you can't put your arm around, 4 foot in diameter type, 11 taps, at one point in some of the good days, those trees, that one tree especially, was putting out like 15 gallons a day out of the four taps of the one tree. Had to empty that 5 gallon bucket, I plumbed it up. And that's what I do. So I put up a pipe and run it into a 5 gallon bucket. I made 3.5 gallons of syrup. Not too bad. We had a good year for that, just the right temps. Snow fell at the right times and kept it things cool. That was another cool thing I did this spring. Alrighty, I'll let you go, Dave. Glad you gave me a call. I'm gonna hop in the sauna and get washed up. Have yourself a good evening. W4DJW, KB0KBJ.
Okay, that sounds cool on this syrup. Next time you're going to have to tell me how that works. I know you don't just get it out of the tree and you're done. I know there's some processing that goes to it. But anyway, we'll save that for next time. That's cool. KB0KBJ, W4DJW, clear.
All right, good night. KB0KBJ, clear.